You're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News here on 720 WGN. All right, you know about the statues in the city, right? The mayor has appointed the Chicago Monuments Project to look at a number of statues, more than 40 at all, to decide whether they should be staying up or be modified or things like that. Alderman Brendan Riley joins us now. He thinks the city council should have a say. Alderman, welcome.
Thanks for having me. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. Okay, so tell me about this, the idea that you think this is something that the legislative branch of city government should have a say on as well as the executive branch.
I do. You know, this ordinance is quite simple. It simply codifies what I think most of my colleagues on the city council would expect, and that is that any major decisions by the city to remove statues or monuments from our public spaces should be done as part of a conversation with the city council, but also with the legislative branch's approval. As it stands today, under the current code, the commissioner of special events has essentially unilateral authority to approve or relocate or remove statues and monuments. And while I do think our current commissioner does a great job,
Mark Kelly, yeah.
Mark and his team do a really great job for the city. I just don't think that one appointed official should have that kind of authority on a matter that does touch a large portion of communities across the city of Chicago. And this really just forces a more public conversation and a legislative deliberation before those moves are made.
Are you sympathetic to people who say these statues should be, if not removed, altered? I mean, how do you feel on that generally?
Everyone has a different opinion on statues and monuments, and certainly there are a lot of statues and monuments that over the years have been used to honor some questionable people, in some cases some just downright objectionable people. But I personally don't have the strong opinion that we should be erasing all of these offensive monuments from our history. I do think the way I look at certain statues and monuments of, say, Confederate war heroes and folks like that who I find completely and totally objectionable, I don't look at those as monuments that honor heroes. I look at those as a reminder of a really sad and twisted history that occurred in this country, and I look at those as traitors, reminders of what traitors look like. And so everyone has a different opinion on what to do with these. I'm not looking to prescribe my own method on this. I'm simply saying that as a legislative body, a democratic body with a small d, mm-hmm. the city council should, with the mayor, debate these issues and determine the proper course.
I'm not rather
than a department head.
And I'm not trying to trap you, but it sounds like you just said that Confederate statues should stay up. It's just people see them in a.
No.
Okay.
Explain. That
please. Oh yeah.
In no way they shouldn't. I don't think they should stay up unmolested. I think perhaps they should be used as a teaching and a learning moment.
Okay.
By adding a plaque that explains their role in history. These sorts of things. Or, in some cases, perhaps these should be housed in one central location, perhaps a museum to remind us of the horrible idea of the Confederacy. So maybe they're removed from the public way altogether, but they're put in one central location for a teaching moment, so people learn about our sad history during that time. My point is, this ordinance is open-ended. As it stands today, one bureaucrat gets to decide what happens with these statues and monuments based on feedback from this committee, which is populated with well-credentialed, smart people. But this needs to be a broader conversation before we take those extraordinary steps to remove these things.
Well, I'm glad you I'm glad you clarified that, Alderman. I didn't mean to put words in your mouth.
No, I appreciate that,
yeah.
And I'm glad I could clarify that. And there's another important component here that people need to remember, and that is without having city council approval required, there is currently no mechanism to allow for transparency. And for the public to really have a seat at the table and participate in this process. The Better Government Association believes that the process has not been open and transparent enough. By requiring this to be heard by a city council committee and voted upon and then debated by a full city council and all the public comment built into those two steps in the process, I think we address the Better Government Association's concerns about transparency so that everyone in the city knows the status of these statues and what's being decided to do with them.
In fairness, the project is inviting public input, right? I mean, they're not doing this without any public input.
Correct. However, they have had a series of meetings that have been closed to the public, and many have concerns about our Open Meetings Act and the fact that the general public does deserve to at least, if not have a participatory seat in the process, at least a seat to observe.
So would you see this coming down as each alderman would have a say in the statues in his or her ward, or
no,
it would
no.
be city council altogether? Okay.
No. I'm not looking to make this a turf issue.
Right.
I'm not looking to make this some sort of feudalistic determination of where monuments go and don't go.
We're always looking for the prerogative. We're always looking for the prerogative fight, Alderman.
Yeah, no. In this case, that's not what we're looking at. But look, there are two partners in city government. There is an executive branch and there is a legislative branch. And we are co-equal partners, which means that we should be making these big decisions together, not in silos separate from one another, but together. And so this really is not about empowering an individual alderman here or there. This is reminding everyone that the legislature has a very key role in city government. And I think a lot of folks would agree this is an emotional issue. There are a lot of diverse opinions out there about it. It's the city council's responsibility to gather that input as broad and far and wide as we can, and then deliberate and work in partnership with the mayor's office to determine what should happen with these. But that's all I'm looking for.
And so according to your plan, then the city council would have the vote, but of course the mayor then could veto that vote, right? So that's why there would be some sort of shared input on it.
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah. And if I suppose if the council were to so choose, they could challenge that. But,
right.
But that's our legislative process here in the city of Chicago. And I think when we're talking about a high profile issue like this, I think it meets the standard of having to go through the full legislative process we expect any other major policy decision to go through.
What do you expect from your fellow aldermen? I'm sure you've talked to them about this.
The aldermen that I've spoken to thus far are all very supportive of the idea. And again, this is not meant to be in any way adversarial towards the Lightfoot administration. It's just to make sure that this hits all the way stations through the process. And that, like we would any other major piece of policy or legislation, we deliberate on this as a legislative body together.
And have you reached out to the administration about it?
I've spoken to members of the administration about it. I've not had a direct conversation with the mayor about it yet.
The mayor unveiled a plan today on affordable housing to require developers of new developments to set aside more units for affordable housing than under the current plan. A lot of developments in your ward. What do you make of her plan?
I actually haven't had a chance to get into the weeds on that one yet. I would argue that past versions of the affordable requirements ordinance haven't produced the desired effect, which is adding a lot more affordable units to our housing stock in Chicago. There are two very, very different opinions on that policy. The development community and the real estate community would tell you that the more onerous the requirements, especially during a fragile economy, the more likely you're going to have a chilling effect on future development. The opponents to that would say, well, no, if we do nothing, there will be no affordable units left in the city of Chicago. So I'm going to take a good hard look at the mayor's proposal. But if it's simply adding additional requirements to what are already in place, I think it may require some additional work because the existing requirements have not been producing the benefits we've been looking for. Yep. And when you look at the real estate environment, especially in the downtown core, where you command the highest, price per square foot, especially for residential, the loan packages are getting tight. Financing is not easy to get. And what these banks are doing is when they're considering giving out loans for these big projects, they look at the margin. Whether you like it or not, ARO requirements do impose greater costs on projects, which eats into the margins, which impacts their ability to get financing. So it's a very delicate balancing act, and that's why I really need to look at this particular proposal in a whole lot more detail.
You know, while we're talking about legislative oversight, should the city council have a role in overseeing what's been happening at Loretto Hospital?
We certainly need to have some hearings and a public accounting for all this nonsense. And that's something I will have a conversation with my colleagues about. I know that the Department of Public Health and Dr. Awadi are deeply disappointed in how that this has all been mismanaged. And seeing all of these venues that have benefited from personal relationships with these executives, it is infuriating when you see so many frontline workers still struggling to get appointments and doses.
I made the point earlier this week, we talk about the disparities in health care. This is exactly what we're talking about, right? We have a low-income neighborhood that is suffering at the hands of the connected.
Correct. And why on earth do we have those doses meant for a deserving population and a very high-risk population? Why are we seeing those doses floating around the Gold Coast and the Loop?
It's just crazy.
There is no good excuse for that. And this business about there being confusion and lack of communication, I think, is total nonsense. I don't blame Representative LaShawn Ford for resigning from that board. A simple reprimand is laughable, and there needs to be an accounting for this. Absolutely needs to be some accountability for it.
42nd Ward Alderman Brendan Riley, listen, it was great to talk to you again. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Take care.
You're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News here on 720 WGN.